is the way.
We want it been.
All right, so we just hit record because we tired of spinning wheels. Jason told me I was trying to do a production pre-production meeting, and Jason's like, "Hit the record button," because you know,
so professional.
We try to be, and Jason just, yeah. Anyway, we got our buddy from the Force, of course, podcast, Mr. Ted Beaver, sitting in with us. Ted, how you doing today?
I'm great. Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on. Jinx.
I already got a soda, but.
You have to get me one.
Oh, let me call Shannon.
I call Jinx.
I'll call Shannon and have her bring you one. Yeah. Ted, what you drinking, man?
This is a Bell's Hop Slam. I don't know if that's available down in Atlanta.
Probably not.
It's a double IPA brewed with honey, so it's got that that IPA bite, but it's a little sweet too. It's 10%. It's a doozy.
I love a good 10%, man.
Yeah, the big ones. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go to a bar and the guy's like, "That's like an 8.5-9%." I'm like, "Just bring it, dude. That means I only have to have one, and I'll be good."
Right, right. I'm thinking long game here.
Yes. I bet, Jason, you're drinking an apple cider.
How'd you know?
Because that's all you, that's all everything.
That's nice. All I drink.
That's Angry all you drink. Orchard.
Okay, okay.
I'm drinking my seasonal Mardi Gras Bock.
Mardi Gras. That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So,
what is it?
It's a Mardi Gras Bock by Abita.
Oh, okay.
So when it comes to Mardi Gras time, I'll buy a case of it because you can only get it at Mardi Gras time.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah.
Mardi Gras time.
Abita, that's from your hometown about. Roundabout, isn't it?
Yep, it's a New Orleans brew. I don't know. Nice. Yeah, I don't know what part of New Orleans, but I just say New Orleans.
The hot part.
Yeah, exactly. It's always hot down there. Oh, how's your week's going?
I'm not ready for Monday.
No one is.
Yeah, right. I'm not ready.
This weekend flew by so fast. I was out at Rich and Dave's place yesterday. We were packing more books. Jerry and I, for that vintage collection archive thing, we were there for about 8 hours.
Jeez.
We packed 150 books, but we took an hour to, so I can interview them for the podcast and learn a lot about the book. And I get home and I come to find out my camera crapped out 30 minutes into the conversation. So I have half of a conversation now. I was kicking myself. And I told Rich, and he's like, "Well, Dave's coming back out because they made slip cases to go with the book, but come to find out the slipcases were opened. Each slipcase was opened in China's for customs. And they wanted to see what was inside the slipcase." And I was joking around, "Well, you know, blue milk is known as the new drug in the States. So you gotta stop that." So
jeez. So what was the it's a hard slipcase and they had to open each box?
Yeah. They open each slipcase to make sure there was nothing in it. And it's a new company, Blue Milk. So you know, they were just doing their due diligence, I guess, on their end to make sure that nothing was getting through customs. And so it delayed everything even more. Like, that's the last thing these guys need is further delays. But
damn,
the slip cases are coming and they're going to ship those out separately. And Dave's been, he lives in Vancouver. He's been out here for 2 weeks to help package books. They did like over 1,000 Kickstarter books in the past week, shipping those out.
Wow.
But there's a lot of people who ordered slipcases and they were trying to hold those books until the slipcases came in. So he's coming back sometime in February and I'm going to go over there with like three different sources of recording, three different pieces of technology. Yeah, that thing.
You sure need you the Tascam.
Does that have an input? Like I can plug in a wireless mic?
Yeah. Or a wire. Yeah, it's got one.
There you go.
Yeah, I might do that. I don't know. We'll test it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that use them for like lavalier mics, and they'll we'll do a lavalier, and then they'll run all different audios, you know, audio video.
I might do that. Normally, I'd be on top of it and know that my camera's malfunctioned, but I was working and doing the books and multitasking, and I had no eyes on the camera. And come to find out that it just wasn't working. They had so many good stories to tell. So I wrote down all the questions that I asked, all the questions Jerry asked. I'm going to try to duplicate that, and we'll get that out. There's a lot of, like I said, great stories. And
That's rough, because it's hard to get that lightning back in the bottle.
Right.
Yeah. I was so deflated. I'm like, shoot, I messed up.
You almost said a cuss word.
I didn't, though. I stopped myself, dang Ferrick. But as far as collecting this week, I did get my Mando Crease. What was it? The Mandalorian on the planet Crease, the ice planet, the vintage collection. It came in a bubble wrapped bag. So naturally it's creased.
Right.
The Mando's creased.
That's perfect for you because you're such a big opener, right?
Right.
Exactly. And then I got Bo-Katan, Quill on one day. The next day I got the Mithral. And then Quill. And I'm like, did I do it again and order two figures? And then I remembered that, no, I ordered a second one to go with the Razor Crest. So when that comes, I'll have Mando, the Child, and Quill to go with that.
Nice.
So the Razor Crest is supposedly going to start shipping this week, if what I heard is right.
Really?
Yeah.
I better call AFA.
Better get them ready.
Yeah, they said the 21st, well, which was 2 days ago, that they wanted to...
Addresses,
right? Double check your addresses. So maybe we'll see.
There's so much to say. I can't really say it. Well,
say it.
The vintage collection. Can you hear me okay? I'm playing with my mic settings. How does that sound?
Great. It sounds fine.
All right. Sorry. The vintage collection, and this is something we've kind of known because Hasbro's said they're going to move to plastic-free packaging.
Yeah.
That's probably like another year or so before that happens, which means the vintage collection line is going to end.
Ouch.
As we know it, it's going to be different.
Right.
And so it's like prices from vintage collection 1.0 have skyrocketed. So I can only imagine what's going to happen with 2.0. And there's only one figure from 2.0 that I need. And it's the Rogue tank leader, lieutenant, something or other. He's like $100 right now. But if I don't get him now, he's going to be like Ahsoka, because he's the tough one to get. He's going to be $700.
Right. That sucks, dude.
That's rough.
Yeah.
And you don't know what kind of packaging they're going to bring it to?
No. I mean, it could be a box. Like, my fear is it's going to be like the white boxes that they're shipping these builder troops packs.
Right. And
I just don't know. That's my fear, because it's all without plastic inside. When you open it up, the figures have kind of been wrapped in paper. They're not even like in baggies.
That's so weird. That is so weird.
So maybe that's the point. I dip out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're looking for an aesthetic and then that aesthetic's gone, why stay with it?
Right. If I can't see the figure and I don't open it, why buy it?
Right. Well, it's the same way with the Black Series. You could tell where they're going with the new Boba Fett that's getting ready to come out.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So ugly.
Yeah. But it's Boba Fett. Were you talking packaging, though?
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. What'd you get?
I'm aggravated right now because I found, I don't know if you remember me telling you about the Burger King glasses that I got, with the tulip, with the sting, whatever. Well, I made a deal with the guy that I got them from. Hey, you know, instead of getting money, he wanted the first run of glasses. So I'm like, yeah, I'll find them for you. But I found them on Mercari, and they should have shipped like 2 or 3 days ago, and the dude hasn't shipped them yet. So I'm aggravated.
Do they exist?
They better exist. Well, Mercari, the thing with Mercari is they give you 3 days to ship it, and then they don't release the money until you, and then once you receive it, you have 3 days to tell them you've got it.
Okay.
So once you approve it, then they'll release the money. So if there's, I've had issues with them where like something returned gets damaged and then we both get our money back. The guy gets to keep the product as long as you ship it through Mercari, you know, approved, whatever. But yeah, I'm kind of aggravated. That should have showed up already. But, and then Craigslist sucks, but I'm trying to get a piece of music equipment off this guy from Craigslist and I've been emailing him and he just refuses to reply. So I don't know what the deal is, but. That's my week, just being frustrated and just I have no patience, so I'm waiting for stuff to happen and hasn't happened yet because people are idiots and I just get very pissed off and aggravated.
It's good to know Craigslist still exists.
That's what I, one of my buddies, I'm like, dude, this freaking Craigslist thing, and he's like, who the hell still use Craigslist? So this guy that lives 10 minutes from me that I want to go pick up this amp from, and he just refuses to reply to my emails.
How about you, Ted, any pickups this week?
The only thing I picked up, the Star Wars sign from Marshalls, it's like behind you over your left shoulder, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have one. I got one for Christmas for the house, but then I found one. My wife was looking for something at Marshalls, and she saw it. And I was like, oh, yeah, for the office.
Definitely.
Yeah. Sure. So that was it. Everything else is on pre-order forever and ever. So. And I think I just have one of each. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's what somebody was talking about, the Black K, the Wookiee from this week's, or the man, you know, Book of Boba Fett. Everybody was like, when are they going to release that figure? And I'm like, let's see. They released Cobb Vanth a year after they announced it, and it's a yet another year before we get it. So
18 months from now, we'll get it.
Yeah, yeah. 18 months to a year, 2 years, we'll get the big, you know, Black K figure.
Put it this way, you can pre-order it next Christmas.
Yeah, most likely.
And then it'll come in next Christmas, the Christmas next after that. But speaking of, you know, we're kind of on the Hasbro kick. I just, the Rancor with the Book of Boba Fett coming out. Mm-hmm. Do you think if they would have held it back until they saw, you know, showed it on the Book of Boba Fett, that they would have, you know, reach the gold, it would have funded? I mean, and would they, Lucasfilm, not be smart enough to go wait 2 months before you start this campaign?
Yeah, there's two different issues there in my mind. One, like you were saying, if they waited 2 months. Two, why didn't Lucasfilm tell them to wait 2 months?
Right.
Unless because it's a different Rancor. It's not Jabba's Rancor. I don't know.
A Rancor is a Rancor.
Right.
It, to me, I mean, I know what you're saying, but a rancor is a rancor to me. I still think they should have handled it differently as far as the tiers, but they could have gone instead of the repack Gamorrean, they could have gone with maybe the two new Gamorreans.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
That's the big question. Why didn't they include the Rancor Keeper from the start?
Right.
I mean, Kenner went out of their way to make the Rancor Keeper because they were making the Rancor. So you put them side by side. That's not the character anybody was clamoring for.
No.
If I want a big fat shirtless guy, all I got to do is look in the mirror.
Same. Same.
They can make action figures of you guys and put it with the Rancor.
Yes.
In action figures.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question, but
yeah.
If they were going to do tiers similar to what they did, 2 months wouldn't have made a difference.
Right.
They're but not going to make, go ahead.
But the Rancor would have been front of mind for everybody, or top of mind.
Right.
Yeah. They might've gotten more people that weren't as deep into original trilogy and they're more into Book of Boba Fett. Maybe if that's a possibility, I don't know how that would work, but maybe they'd pick up a couple extra orders that way.
We got, what, 3 episodes left.
Yes.
Boba Fett promised to ride that thing. He's going to ride it. They could have repackaged Boba Fett riding that thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
It would have sold.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. One tier instead of cave garbage could have been a saddle.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Everybody would have been like, what's the saddle for? Then you would have seen Book of Boba Fett and be like, holy crap.
Oh, whoa.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. I don't have answers. They botched it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They dropped the ball.
Well, yeah, you've got a lot. You've got that. They could have waited 2-3 more months and they had the ectoplasm or the proton pack, which was blew everything away. And then you had G.I. Joe, that ship, which they, the jet that they did just incredible work with, I thought.
Yeah.
Of pushing
so much detail. So yeah. much detail on that thing.
While we're talking HasLab real quick.
Yes.
Blue sky thinking here.
Uh-oh.
What would be the most you would pay for an item, and what would that item be? I know I should have asked that question before, so you got more time to think about it, but
I would pay probably $500 for a ghost if it came with if it came with the crew.
Okay.
Nice.
That's probably about fair for that, yeah. that product.
I would pay, if it came with all the crew, I'd probably push it to $600 or $700 if it had redone figures to go match the ghost and it had a Phantom.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're hitting me in a soft spot.
Scale wise, do you think that's bigger than the Razor Crest?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it's about Falcon size.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It'd have to be the
BF. Yeah, 500's good.
Yeah.
500's good. I would I'd love to go back in time and pay $500 for a sail barge.
Yeah.
Man, still kick myself for that one.
I think they did that sail barge right though. And I think a lot of, I think a lot of people are going to be kicking themselves with the Razor Crest, because I know a lot of people got together and bought several Razor Crest as an investment, and you're not going to be able to sell them like you can that sail barge.
Yeah. So thinking about that, if it were a HasLab product, how much would you gentlemen pay for a Death Star playset?
How detailed is that Death Star playset, though?
It would, and we're spitballing here, it would include every feature from the original, but in an incredible detail, and probably twice the size. So you'd be able to add in more.
So twice the size
as the original playset.
So the original was like 3 or 4 foot.
I'm just trying to factor in things here. So twice the playset is maybe about the same size as the sail barge. So you asking like $500?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd be willing to pay more than that for the Death Star. I don't know why. That was my favorite playset as a kid. So
would you pay $1,000 for the playset, for a Death Star playset?
I would need to see the tears.
Yeah.
I would do $750 for it.
$750?
Yeah, I would do
$750. What if it was, I'm just blue sky thinking again, modular, so that you could take rooms out and put it on a shelf or take it back, put it back in the Death Star, so you could have different areas of your room with that Death Star playset, or you can just put it all together in the corner of your room. Would you spend $1,000 on that?
Do you have one? Is that why you're asking?
No, I'm just blue sky thinking.
I might.
Yeah, you'd be getting, it would depend on if I had the $1,000 that I could spend on it at the time.
I think the final tier would have to be like a 10 pack of stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Yeah, something. Well, what about vehicles?
Oh, shoot.
Because they could easily repack TIE fighters or Darth Vader's TIE fighter. Mm-hmm. Oh, a hangar would be a cool section.
That would be a nice section, something we haven't seen before.
Then you'd really know how big that thing was if it had a hangar big enough for a TIE fighter. That thing would be huge.
Or even the Imperial shuttle.
Damn, it'd be twice as big. It'd be even bigger with that shuttle.
There's no way they can make something that big.
No. I could see them having like a pad or like a piece of cardboard or something that came out that would act as a landing pad. But
and instead of the gunner on the top, we got to go Return of the Jedi and put the throne room in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. Absolutely.
Because on the original, that gun just didn't make any sense.
It's just open air.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's the TIE X-Wings flying around it and you're moving the gun and stuff.
Right. Now, what if it was modeled after the Micro Collection one? Then you've got a winner.
I'm out.
You're out?
I don't need that.
But you've seen the Micro Collection one and how detailed that one is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine them making a bigger version of that, full size, 3¾ version of that?
I guess I need to see it again.
Yeah. Because you're already at, you know, $300-$400 for that fig, for that in the micro collection size, if you find it.
How much would you pay for a Cantina playset with a removable roof? So you can put it on and then it would be.
Wow.
There you're talking. Yeah, $500-$600. Because.
Yeah, easy.
And I think. Looked at it. Huh? I got one more. I got one. Go ahead.
I think 500 is a sweet spot for HasLab. And you've got, if you're going to sell it for 500, it better damn well be worth it. Like the Cantina, not Cantina, the sail barge was perfect for $500.
Yeah. And the Cantina would be roughly the same size as the sail barge, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I guess the last one would be Jabba's throne room, because A, they have that whatever you want to call it, where they've already made part of that playset with Han Solo kind of being in carbonite.
Yeah.
So they have that. They have the sail barge with the Book of Boba using that room. I think that would be a good candidate for HasLab. How much would you pay for that? Like $350?
It depends on, is it just that room or is it like, I've seen, have you seen, I don't know who does it, but someone's doing like a 3D print model of Jabba's palace.
I did see it. Yeah.
It's massive.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So that would be nice. But to see one done by HasLab would certainly be more detailed, I'm sure. And you'd finally get Jabba's, or not Jabba's, you'd get Boba's tanning bed. You can put that up there too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Up there in the loft.
How does he get down? How would Jabba get down from that room?
There's no way he ever used that
thin
room.
Stairs.
Right.
There has to be an elevator or something.
Yeah. He stayed on that throne, man. That's all he did.
Yeah, that's true. We did see him sleeping on it.
Mm-hmm. That was Bib Fortuna's room up there.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're back in the $500 or $600 range, I think. Depending on the to add a little bit more salt to the wound, you've got to look at they already did that in San Diego Comic-Con, the FET, the Jabba throne room in cardboard. And that's right. Going for $200 to $300 right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the Power of the Force one?
No, the one you bought off of me like 2 years ago.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. That's going for $200 to $300 right now. And they already did it.
That's a weird Salacious Crumb. I know we've mentioned that, but that's a weird looking Salacious.
Well, would you talk? Are you talking about Black Series? Or are you talking about?
I'm talking about 3.75. I'm skipping Black Series because it's just not going to work. It's too big. Right. The Rancor kind of proved that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think there'll ever be a Black Series HasLab project again?
I mean, the TIE Fighter was a failure
from
their eyes because everything went on clearance. The Rancor wasn't a success. So at this point, I don't know what to do with Black Series HasLab.
Yeah. They've had two pretty big successes with the sail barge and the Razor Crest. So stick with what you know, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And I am kicking myself not funding that Razor Crest, but I'm hoping I can find one for like $400 here soon. Like right after it hits, you know, give it a few months and people going, oh crap, I can't double my money. And they're just going to, you know, get rid of it.
Yeah. 26,000 out there. You're going to find one. It's not as rare as the sail barge.
Right. Yeah. And then, like I said, I think that's what happened. People saw the sail barge and they said, screw it. I'm going to buy 5 Razor Crests and keep one.
Right.
And they're not going to be able to do that.
No, there's no FOMO this time around.
Right.
So, Ted, tell us about yourself. How did you get into podcasting?
A friend and I started a podcast. We wanted to do a radio show years and years ago because we were always the kind of the class clowns, and we finally got around to doing it. And we did that for a while. And it seemed like every conversation I had started to pour into Star Wars. And it got to the point where he was like, you know, maybe we peel back on the Star Wars. And I was like, well, how about even better? I just do a Star Wars show on my own. And he was like, that's probably a great idea. So we'll see if it is. I've been doing it for 35 episodes now. I'm having fun. And that's really all I care about.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's how we feel about this. It's like, you know, it's great. We get people listening, but as long as we're having fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just an outlet. So my wife can stop saying, stop talking to me about this. I don't care about Han Solo's bounty. I don't care.
Oh, That's great.
So, yeah. So I'm having a good time. Good time.
And I love that last episode with the Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Super listener, Sharon. She told me to edit it because that little clip was like 4.5 minutes. And, that's a little long, but I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to trim out any of that. It was just amazing. Like,
it was perfect. She's beautiful. She's very poetic.
Right. Yeah. I'm just afraid people are going to be like, less of Ted and more of her. It could happen.
No, not less of Ted and more of her, but I'm listening to that being like, I wish I had that passion. I wish I could put my thoughts into words like she did.
Right. Oh, I have the best intentions with every episode I start to record, and then a couple of beers and everything's out the window.
Right. Well, you were working on your kitchen in your break, so.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right. Oh, what a mess. I'm so glad that's over. I have a question for you guys. How did you guys meet?
The club.
Oh, the Georgia Alliance of Star Wars Collectors.
Okay. And then what made you two decide to do a podcast? Like, was there interest on both sides and then you talked about it and came together? Was it?
Well, it's funny because Glenn was on it with a couple other guys, with John Waterhouse and Justin Haney. And he asked me if I wanted to be on, and I just assumed it was as a guest star. And I forgot to clarify. And so we were going, and then he was making plans for next week. And I'm like, okay, I guess this is it now. We're doing it.
Okay.
And I never looked back.
Well, yeah. What their Prototypes and Productions, David Quinn. That's another podcast. We had asked David to do a podcast for our virtual summer social a couple of years ago. Okay. And Jason was on it. And Jason just brought his A game. And I'm like, that's the guy I need, because he knows, at least the modern stuff, he knows the modern stuff and he could talk it. And I'm like, yeah. And next time he hosted a meetup, like a month later, as like a trial run. And I'm like, hey, Jason, let's do this. Cause the other guys were losing interest.
But you didn't say that. You said, you want to be on the podcast? All right, sure. I'll be a guest.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I didn't say that though.
I didn't say that, but
yeah, well,
it all worked out.
Obviously he's enjoying it. Cause we've spent like a year and a half.
Nice. It's fun. I like the show. It's like hanging out with a couple of friends. It's nice. It's not like you're not just like bombarding me with news and then going on a rant here there. I mean, not that you guys don't go on your rants, but they're fun.
You're right.
Yeah, I like it.
We try.
It's funny because Jason will go on a rant and he texts me. He's like, I think I went too hard. I'm like, dude, you're fine.
Nah, people like that.
Yeah.
That's how we get to know you.
All right. Just don't like complaining. But I guess you have to, because you're on a podcast and you have to have something to say.
If you're the way I look at it is, if you're saying it, someone else is thinking it. So
right. HasLab may not friend us. HasLab may not send us any free shit, but we're gonna let them know we exist.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
No, I don't see it either. It does suck because I'll look at all these podcasters or whatever, media creators, and they're like, look at what Hasbro sent me. And it's this huge box of crap. Right. And it's like, dude, just send me one thing, man, or something.
Right. I'd be happy with just the smallest thing. Just a letter saying, hey, we heard your show. Right. We didn't like it, but we heard it. I'd be happy.
A postcard. We'll take a postcard.
Right.
You suck, Hasbro. Yes, we did it.
I would frame that damn thing right on the wall.
It is funny because in the club, we have a T-Fury or T-Shirt Fury or whatever, T-Public site. And when we get a cease and desist order from Lucasfilm, I like print it up and I'm like, look, we got a cease and desist order.
Lucas.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Disney's paying attention to our stupid small website.
That's cool, though.
T-shirts.
That's cool.
We tried to pass along a GASWC, but in the Mandalorian font.
Yeah.
And they slammed on the brakes before that thing even went public.
Yeah. Really? It took like an hour or two and it was gone.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Yeah. But Jason also put the Mando walking. So it was the full font. They didn't like that. They also don't like anything with Baby Yoda on it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, that answers that question. I'm not going to go into T-shirts. Check.
It's like Disney, you're good. We're just trying to operate a small club here. Back off.
Right. I'm not after your billions.
No. Lightning Lane is taking care of that for us.
Right. Jesus, don't get us going on that.
Yeah. I forgot to ask, did you ever get your Amazon t-shirt? The new one? Yeah. The new one?
I have not. Oh, God. I got to tell a story about that. I totally forgot about it. So I ordered it. And I remember I ordered it underneath my mother-in-law's address. And I thought I canceled it. I didn't cancel it. So, so she got a t-shirt, which I haven't opened yet. But the thing is I canceled it. And they were like, just keep the t-shirt. We don't care. I'm like, oh, well, wow. Probably because the design freaking sucks this month. Because I've only seen it about that, you know, you see it about that big, and all I can make out was like Baby Yoda with hearts. And I'm like, why?
That's horrible.
Why do I want this t-shirt?
Wow. Well, I love that Amazon doesn't care that you keep the t-shirt. And it tracks, because they don't care if their employees have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
But
or it if is, they drive through somebody's driveway.
That's true too. but no, it's a horrible t-shirt. It's like a t-shirt you would only wear for a week leading up to Valentine's Day. It's Baby Yoda with like a bunch of Valentine candy hearts and stuff. And it's just like, that's strike one. If I get like a St. Patrick's t-shirt, I'm out. I just can't. I'll use it as a sleep shirt because I usually sleep in t-shirts.
Mm. Yeah.
I won't wear it out in public.
What do the hearts say?
I don't remember.
Oh my God.
It's just like, I'm not wearing this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It says, this is the way to my heart.
I think it does actually.
Oh my gosh. That would be funny.
Wow, that's bad.
It is. It's not good.
You know when you see a thumbnail of something and you're like, that sucks. You know it's bad.
Yeah.
Glenn, like tell the book of mother-in-law to keep it.
Huh?
Tell your mother-in-law just to keep it.
I probably will. She was like, it's on the table. You come get it. And they live 5 minutes from me, and it's so bad I didn't even drive over to freaking pick it up. But we had the grandbabies this weekend, and it just getting out with them kind of gets to be a pain in the ass sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a fun time. It's fun playing Star Wars with them. We got at the AVT yard sale, we got a play thing with Boba Fett with the helmet. He wore the hell out of that, man. He wore the gauntlets all weekend. He's like, I'm Boba Fett. And I'm like, doing something right. And of course, they're all like, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. I'm like, that's Yoda. Well, look at, he's got old hair. I'm like, because it's Yoda.
Stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, I love, you know, and of course, and then we started rewatching Mandalorian because he's like, I want to watch Mandalorian. So we rewatching. I watched the first two episodes and I was like, damn, they put a lot of stuff in these first two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mandalorian's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out.
Turns out Book of Boba Fett's getting better.
Yeah. Amen. About time.
Right.
Jeez.
Took half the season.
Well, we'll get to the breakdown in a minute, but I'm wondering what you think about the way that they kind of broke up the timeline with the flashbacks and the back to tank. Would it have been better or more enjoyable if the first two episodes was him getting out of the Sarlacc? Oh, I almost knocked over my drink. Him getting out of the Sarlacc and then rising to power and then everything that's happening in the modern day. Would it have been easier to access the show?
That's a good question. I enjoyed the Tusken stuff. It did slow the pacing down for me, but I still liked seeing it.
Yeah,
I think we get rewarded in episode 4 for all that stuff that we watched in the Tuskens, but I'm just...
Do you think it's over?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think we're done with that.
Yeah.
You don't think it'll pay off at all? Like
he's fully
Tuskens
healed.
I know, but you don't think the Tuskens might come to his rescue at some point?
I think he can leverage them.
Okay.
But it depends if those Tuskens talk to other Tuskens.
Right.
Or if he was just part of that one tribe.
Like they had a big like winter meetup.
Because
the Tusken Alliance of Star Wars Likers.
Because you never saw the warrior.
Right. Yeah. The queen or the princess, whatever she was high up.
Right. You don't know was she, I mean, I know that was a stunt lady, but obviously, you know, they never said if it was man or woman, but.
Right.
You know, a really skinny man or a lady you didn't know, but you never saw him burn her like he did everybody else.
And we didn't see the kid either, right? Not that they would show that, but
we got the stick. He threw the stick into the fire.
Oh, yeah, that's probably some closure right there. Okay.
So yeah, you'd assume that the kid's gone.
Yeah.
So maybe she'll
I was just wondering that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance that we see other flashbacks?
No.
Yeah, nothing. I think the flashback. I think with the droid saying you're 100% healed, I think that was the door closing on flashbacks. Yeah.
It kind of felt like it.
And they also kind of cut back to the end credits of season 2 of Mandalorian, where you see Boba Fett taking the throne and they play the music, and then they kind of cut to that droid saying you're healed. And I feel like now we're caught up. We're good. Yeah,
we can you're move up to forward. Date.
Right. Getting back to your question, I think they needed to set the pace and being like, okay, well, this is where we are, but then we're going to do flashbacks. I get, you know, because if they would have started off with the Tusken thing, I think people would have lost a lot of people to begin with.
It would be interesting to see a cut where they do it sequentially and they just cut out all the back to stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Topher Grace. You hear those rumors that he recut the prequels into one movie.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. It'd be cool to see just like the Book of Boba Fett cut linearly.
We're going to go with yes.
Yes. I'm looking forward to when it's over. I can at least binge watch 2 or 3 episodes. And, you know, maybe not binge watch the whole thing at once, but can watch it 2 or 3 at a time and, you know, let my mind process it.
That's the other thing. We can't binge watch it. We have to wait for the next episode. And even if we didn't like episode 1, we'd be able to just go right into episode 2. Mm-hmm. And then we'd just go into episode 3. And then finally episode 4 would come in hour 4 and be like, oh, this is getting good.
Right.
We don't have to wait 4 weeks to say it's finally getting good in our opinion. You know?
Yeah.
That experience is different.
Right. I mean, why does Disney do it that way versus releasing them all at once?
So you have that power. You could do that. But do you have the control to wait until week 7 to watch them all?
Right.
Would you be able to do that ever?
No.
I couldn't.
You have to stay off of social media.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to stay away from everything except the toy aisles because you got 2 years to catch up there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wake up at 5 a.m. and watch it. I mean, I'm up at 5 a.m. anyway, but I watch it before I go. Normally, I come down here and play on the computer for 45 minutes. Instead, I'm watching Book of Boba because I don't want it spoiled.
Right. Same.
But like it just sucks because I know I keep hawking back to Hawkeye and like WandaVision and stuff. None of that stuff was spoiled. I mean, now granted, I'm not in the Marvel things. I'm not in on Facebook like I am with Star Wars, but I can watch that in the evening and be fine.
I think there's more. I don't know. I don't want to like bash on Star Wars fandom, but I think Marvel, there's a more respectful culture in their fandom sometimes. Yeah. I think some people will spoil something Star Wars just to do it.
I mean, Marvel's been teaching tolerance for years.
Years, yeah.
Star Wars really hasn't. Nope. And it's also not a spoiler culture. I mean, Empire Strikes Back aside, there hasn't been that many things that have been spoil worthy. Not until The Mandalorian came out.
Right.
Because typically everybody would see it that opening weekend. We'd all be on the same page. I don't know. I'm just pulling things out of my arse.
How was Maul coming back in the Clone Wars? How was that revealed? Was there ever like hints beforehand? Do you know? Do you remember?
The season before, the Night Sisters were looking in like a crystal ball kind of thing. And you kind of see Darth Maul in the ball.
Okay.
That was the season before. And it was just kind of like, ooh, does that mean Darth Maul's coming back? And then the next season he came back.
Gotcha.
There's some hints.
That would have been kind of the closest spoiler-worthy moment I could think of.
Yeah. I should go back and watch some of those arcs in the Clone Wars. That Mortis trilogy is one of the best.
It's wild.
That's the one with the father and daughter.
Even the last season with the Siege of Mandalore, that needs to be rewatched too.
That was the best lightsaber fight in all Star Wars.
Yeah, they really went out with a bang with that show.
Do you think Mortis is something they'll ever attempt in live action? You'll ever see any of that?
No. If maybe Filoni. Mm-hmm. Maybe with Ahsoka he goes there, but I don't think so. I think that's more of a Anakin Skywalker thing. Yeah.
It's just, there's so much to explain to like the casual fans.
Yeah.
I think that would be hard.
I have a feeling in Ahsoka, we're going to see the time travel world between worlds shit that Jason's just pissed off about. But if they do that in Ahsoka, they're at least going to show that whole Mortis thing, because he's in the thing, you know, that's the whole, the artwork is him in that. So they're going to, you're going to see it. I think we're going to see it in Ahsoka.
Oh boy.
No. No. I don't need a multiverse.
In Star Wars,
that, like I said, Lego did that with their holiday special and it was cute and fun, but I don't want that in real.
Right.
Stay away from that.
That could make things messy.
Right. I don't think they, I don't know. I don't think they're going to do a multiverse, but man, you don't know.
So we'll get into the Book of Boba Fett in just a second. I do want to ask Ted, you live in Cincinnati.
Yes.
So have you ever heard stories from friends or anything like that of people who found epic finds at flea markets or toy stores where they've got the first shot or a wax sculpt? They just stumble upon a Kenner something that's one of a kind.
Probably the coolest story I'm aware of is I went to high school with a guy named Darren, and his grandfather worked for Kenner. And Darren, I know Darren was aware of that. But what I don't think he was aware of is that when he left, his grandfather passed away and left his house to Darren, exactly how much Star Wars stuff was in the basement. Mm. He was able to take all that and create his own brick and mortar store called the Earth Entertainment Mall. And now it's an online entity. But yeah, there was a store, and when he sold enough of his stuff, he did a consignment store so you could take your stuff in there and sell it. It was amazing. And at one point, he even had the Taco Bell Humvee with Darth Vader on the hood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that parked right in the front. It was amazing. So that was, I don't know if I can call that a find.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty incredible story.
That's the thing. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, the Earth is legendary.
Yeah. But see, that's funny because all this stuff happens in Cincinnati that people outside of the town, they're like, oh, that's legendary. Yeah. And we're just like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I used to go there every couple of days.
Well, it's the truth though, because when I was up there and you're talking to people, it's the same thing. They're like, yeah, we went to school. We were bombarded with Star Wars. Santa Claus, when he'd come to school and he had a sack full of toys, it was Star Wars. And we'd go, great. And throw it in with the rest of the crap.
They took us on a field trip to Kenner in grade school, and you got to pick a figure in a bagged figure. It was Leia or I think it was Chewbacca. And I grabbed a Leia because I didn't have one yet. And everyone looked at me like I was crazy. Like, why is that guy picking a Leia? Like, I don't have one yet.
Right. Jesus. And to think if you would have left it in a bag, it'd be worth hundreds of dollars.
You know, I opened my toys.
Yeah, I know you do.
I would have too at that age.
Yeah. Right? But that's the stories you hear from everybody up there. I love Cincinnati. But I was talking to one of the big vendors up there. And he's like, I need to get out of Cincinnati because I bring this much Star Wars stuff and everybody's seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's asking, he's like, what shows are down in Atlanta? And I'm like, if you bring this shit to Atlanta, you're going to sell out.
Yeah. Right. What was the show with Jordan Hembro?
Toy Hunter.
Yes. So he came to Cincinnati and got a rocket firing Boba Fett prototype from a guy that he had a comic store across the street from the Earth, basically. And I used to go there all the time. Like, when we were watching that show, I told my wife, like, there's a good chance we're in the back of the store while they're filming this. Cause I was always just digging through the comics back there. Yeah. I didn't even know he had one.
Did he really have it, or was that set up? Cause I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying sometimes in those shows,
I asked him.
Okay.
He was a middleman.
That makes sense.
Yeah. He was a middleman. So he knew the guy that had it, and he got a small fee for carrying out the transaction, making it happen, I guess. But still cool.
Still awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. That's a different world. I can't imagine growing up in Cincinnati and just Star Wars being just part of the noise. Like, yeah, just whatever.
Yeah. Right. It's just everywhere. Tripping over it.
Yeah.
It's the freaking truth, man.
It doesn't. Man. It just doesn't feel that way to me. It's funny.
Yeah. Now, I know I've harked about Cincinnati enough, but it's just a badass town. It just to be in that history of Kenner.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's neat. I would love to see like a museum go up in that building. That would be pretty cool. I know there's room.
Is it mostly empty now?
From what I hear, a lot of it is, yeah.
Dang.
That would be amazing if they did that.
That would be amazing if, even if they did a pop-up museum on the floor, yeah, they made the toy.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Just to get up to go in there. Wow.
I saw you guys were, you had your pictures taken in front of the mural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you laugh at people when you see that?
No, because I love it. That mural, okay, is just, it hits all the heartstrings. It's amazing. Yeah. I wish more, like, the city's full of murals like that, but not like that. I wish there were more like Star Wars and toys of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard the story of that, but I was in town. And Jason's like, I'm going up north and I'll be in Cincinnati for like a half an hour. So we
wait, 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
I was on schedule.
It was that fast. It was that we were in the middle of a transaction at Earth to Kentucky in Kentucky. And I looked at the lady and I went, I've got to go meet a buddy. We'll be back in a half an hour. And she was just like, oh shit, you've got hundreds of dollars worth of crap on my counter and you're just gonna walk away in the middle of the transaction.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
she's like, this guy's backing out of the sale,
right? I'm like, no, we will be back. So we went and met up with Jason and then went right back and finished. Yeah, but and then Jason was like, his son was like, I need Panera.
Yeah, it was my daughter. Yeah.
Our daughter, what, one
we're
of them was
factual,
like,
on the show, it was my daughter.
Okay that's funny.
She thinks with her stomach.
Yeah, well, I do too, so I don't feel
same good. Yeah, the next time you guys are in town, we need to do something.
Yeah.
I was so upset I came to Atlanta not realizing I was nowhere near where you guys are.
No.
I was nowhere near Atlanta when I ended up where I was. Good Lord.
You weren't. Yeah, you were in Stone Mountain.
And they wouldn't let us off the resort. Like, for 4 days, I was stuck there. Didn't
really
get to see anything except for the hotel, which was nice, but still.
Now, were you in like Stone Mountain Park or just near Stone Mountain?
Yeah, it was in the park.
Because do you watch Ozarks?
Yeah.
That the riverboat is in Stone Mountain Park. I just found that out this weekend. No.
Oh, that would have been cool to see. Now I got to go back.
Right. I live a mile from Blue Cat. The Blue Cat Lounge is like right down the street from my house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just weird because it's that show shot all over here and you're like, that's not the Ozarks, that's Lake Lanier. Look at all them damn pine trees.
That's funny. I did not know that.
Yeah. But no, definitely we do. I mean, I know I am planning on going up there in October, me and the wife, because the Xenia show and the Cincinnati show right now are on the same weekend.
Oh my gosh.
That's what everybody keeps saying. One's going to be on Saturday. One's going to be on Sunday. So I'm like, it's great for me because I get to squeeze it in a weekend, but it's going to suck for the vendors.
Yeah. That's a rough one.
Yeah.
What's Xenia?
Xenia. Yeah. It's north of here.
What is that?
It's just a town.
Oh. Yeah,
but they've got some
most
cool
famous
shops
for tornadoes back in the 70s. Yeah.
There's a cool shop called Route 68 up there.
Is it on Route 68?
No.
I don't know.
No? So it's just a clever name?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
You've never been up there?
No. I mean, I've been to Xenia, but I haven't been to that shop.
It's a cool shop because they own the two shops or two storefronts. One is the guy owns it and it's all of his stuff. And then the other one, a couple of doors down, is all consignment stuff. So it's a flea market.
Yeah.
And it's got some killer stuff. It's you know, if you're ever bored and can kill a day, go run up there.
It's Route 68?
Yeah, Route 68 Toys.
Writing it down.
All right, should we get into the Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, why not?
Is there something else?
No.
Why not?
We can shit.
We're here,
shoot,
I guess
the
we
shit
should.
For another hour, man. We're just having a good time.
All right, fine. I'll let it go.
No, let's go to Book of Boba, man.
No.
Let's go to Book of Boba. Have you found you haven't found anything cool wandering around the streets of Cincinnati, have you?
What do you mean?
Like
people?
No.
Wandering around? Just like random finds?
Yeah.
A hollow tube Tusken. I saw that at a toy show. And this was so long ago, I didn't realize that was a variant.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, well, this one, I don't think mine looks like this. There was something different. And I picked it up And this was late 90s. I think I got it for $40.
Wow.
And then I saw one in O'Smiley's right around the corner from me.
I like O'Smiley's. That's a good place.
She had one just a few weeks ago. She had one for like $400, I think. I was like, oh.
You got to know what you're buying when you go into that place because she likes her stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she does.
But it's a cool shop. All right. Go to Book of Boba Fett, Jason.
No, we're just hanging out here.
But no, yeah, I could talk. Yes.
Can we take a break? I haven't watched this episode yet.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I heard your show, man. You talked about it on Friday.
I was guessing. Did I get it right?
Yeah. You got it right. That's amazing.
I'm a good guesser.
Yeah, apparently. All right.
Go for it. Do it, Jason.
Do it. You got it. Do it.
Do it. Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 4, The Gathering Storm, directed by Kevin Tancherion and written by Jon Favreau, who's written every single episode this season. I don't know how he's doing it, except for the one that Filoni will direct.
Right.
Anyways, we see Boba, and he's riding a bantha. He's going to Jabba's palace. He spies on the guards, and he's, what are you laughing at?
Ted had his the slowest Banthas, mode of
man. What?
Do it, Ted. Do it.
Listen, I'll make this quick. So we find out that Boba was with the Tuskens for about 5 years. It turns out. So. Yeah. It didn't look like there was 5 years of content provided to us. So I think most of that time was spent riding back and forth on the damn bantha. Why would you ride on that?
How long do you think he was with the bantha? The Tuskens. How long do you think he was without the Tuskens?
I don't know. It's really muddy. They're not painting a very clear picture there.
Because it seems pretty quick. Between rescued.
When the Tuskens got burned and now?
Yeah, I think they got burned, and then he rode the bantha for a year and a half to Jabba's palace, and there we are. That's where we pick up. It's just, why are we going so slow? They stole speeder bikes. He just enjoys the time.
Yeah, I think he's been a hermit for 2 years, just waiting for his moment to strike.
That's fair.
I don't think it was 2 years, but I would give it a few months between when the sand people got burnt up and he decided to go after Jabba.
Probably. That's a lofty goal, man. Taking down that whole palace.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Sorry, anyway, go ahead.
He's on a bantha.
He decides it's too heavily guarded, the Jabba's palace, and he decides to just kind of hang out at night. He feeds the bantha, which doesn't take hours. The bantha's pretty quick to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Give him some credit where credit's due. But he does see some flares off on the horizon, and we hear the whistle from the Mandalorian. And I thought that was cool to see the Mandalorian from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
And he goes to investigate, and it's Fennec. Fennec is dead almost.
Right.
And he picks her up because he must have recognized who it was because he knows exactly who she is when she kind of wakes up.
Yeah. Maybe he takes went through her wallet.
What's that?
Maybe he went through her wallet.
Now, I do have one complaint about this. You didn't wear spurs.
Right.
Yes. I picked up on that. No spurs.
Yeah. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
They made a point to put the spurs in The Mandalorian. Why? I don't know.
Continuity. Unless they figured out he didn't have his armor back yet.
True.
Oh man, we got to retcon that.
Yeah. But he takes her back to Mos Eisley where there's the mod people. What do they call them? The mods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they modify themselves with droid parts. Hopefully this is just something contained at Tatooine. I hope it's not a galactic thing. The comic books have invaded the entire Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more because there's a story of Lando running into a guy that's doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I'd be okay with it. I just think that they should look like they're punk rockers from the late 80s.
Right.
Like it should be, 5-10 years from 83.
Uh-huh.
Because the 70s heavily inspired, the look of the characters in the original Star Wars.
True.
Just push it forward. I thought the guys looked too modern.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess that's my only complaint at this point. I've accepted it. I've moved on. I just wish they looked like they were in a used universe and they looked like they were something from the late 80s.
Yeah, that all might right. that aesthetic might fit in on Cloud City, where everything is nice and clean, but on Tatooine it just didn't work. Not for me. Right.
And apparently, since you brought up punk rockers, the biker gang, whose Quadrophenia is where they got, I know I said it wrong, but that's where they got the influence from, the biker gang.
I have no clue what you just said.
It's an old British, it's The Who, a movie, Quadrophenia.
Wow.
It was the mods versus the rockers, and they had these altered, I guess, Vespas, I don't know.
Yeah. But if you look at them, they've got all the mirrors and shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. So it was inspired by something. It just wasn't pulled out of someone's bad idea.
Well, I mean, two things can be true at once.
Right. Yeah. It could be both. I don't know.
Yeah.
Too many mirrors. They look like Skittles. Anyways, they look like M&Ms. Fennec wakes up. They have a brief conversation. Boba kind of spills his cards, sips his cards. He shows her cards. Use the right analogy there, Jason. He knows who she is. I kind of got the sense here that he's been in the desert for years, and he's just basically a hermit, just waiting for the opportunity to get. And I think that's not his first time to Jabba's palace. I was gonna say Boba's palace.
Yeah,
that's not the first time he's been there. I think he goes there quite often, just waiting for the right moment, and he just never got the right moment to steal a ship.
That's a cool take. I like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The way he said it does feel like that.
Puts a lot of longing into the situation where he's like, man, if I could just get in there and get my ship back, I'd save so much time riding back and forth.
I also thought it was interesting in this scene, Fennec doubted the speeder bike gang killed the Tuskens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as she said that, they played that theme from Solo, a Star Wars story, that da-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. So I'm not thinking this is connected to Crimson Dawn anymore. I think it's just the Pikes.
Yeah.
Because whenever that comes up, it's related to the Pikes. So I think it's the Pikes played Boba Fett to get rid of the bikers.
I still think we haven't seen the Pikes look as dangerous as they did on the Bad Batch. Like they didn't do a whole lot in that episode, but they looked menacing and people definitely feared them for a reason. In the train raid, like they didn't miss a shot, it seemed like. So I could definitely see them taking out the Tuskens.
Yeah.
I don't see that biker gang doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, because in the Bad Batch, they would clear out a bar. Like people went running when the Pikes came in. And I would think if they were, when they left that starship, everybody would have, oh God, it's the Pikes. Get the hell out of town.
Right.
But so I don't know. Maybe on Tatooine, they don't know who the Pikes are. Maybe this is the first time the Pikes
very possible.
Gone to this planet. But Fennec says that she'll help Boba get a ship. And after that, their debt will be paid. They use like a infiltrator droid, kind of like a compacted version of what Darth Maul uses to get into the palace and kind of scope things out. It determines the layout and the number of people, the guards. Boba Fett's actually able to confirm, yep, that's my ship. It's still there. We do see some more Gamorreans, and I've kind of pinpointed what my issue is with the masks. The heads are too egg-shaped.
Okay.
Return of the Jedi, the rounder.
Yeah.
So they just don't look right. Maybe they haven't been fed well. Their faces have kind of thinned out. I don't know.
And every time I see someone cooking, it's like salad. So yeah, that's very possible.
Yep. But then, Boba and Fennec decide to make their move, and Boba lets the Bantha go into the wild to go make baby Banthas, which is weird.
That was interesting.
How annoying was that tongue on that Bantha?
I mean, if you have a pet, you know, they like to use their tongues.
They do. That was clearly not CGI. I don't think that was CGI at all.
No, I love the real creature stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It was a puppet. So that's how they were able to get all that stuff going on.
I appreciate them going through all that. I wish they'd done puppet huts, but that wasn't practical at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Then those guys really would have to carry all that weight.
Those poor guys. Well, hell, they could have just done the heads, and then CGI'd everything else if they really wanted to.
And here we start learning some of Boba Fett's motivations. He's tired of working for idiots who are going to get him killed. And he appreciates...
Aren't we all?
Yeah. And you appreciate, well, what kind of line of work are you in again?
Tell me you're not self-employed, Glenn.
No.
Yeah, the Tuscans take him in, and they made him part of this of a tribe, and I think he felt good knowing that he was associated with something, something meaningful, something that was really committed to the to his development. And I think he appreciated that.
Yeah.
But then the infiltrator droid returns, and they see the slave one still in the hangar, but there's too many guards, so they decide to time things out, and they go in by the side door, by melting bars, and they sneak through the kitchen, where I think this is EV-99. I think what we saw in The Mandalorian is a droid like it, but it's not EV-99.
Did they, in this one, they put sous chef droid, but in The Mandalorian, when he spoke, they, I think they put EV-99. I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and look, but in this one, I would think that they would put EV-99, but they said sous chef droid.
Oh, and was the closed caption?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's not.
I don't know. How many of those could there be around in that palace?
I thought this, yeah, I thought this character sounded more like EV-99 than Mark Hamill did on The Mandalorian.
Same, yeah.
It was just too perfect for, mm-hmm. It was too similar to Return of the Jedi.
I think it's got to be him then.
Right. Or her.
Or her, yeah.
But I did love that. Yeah. I did love the six-armed droid with the butcher knives kind of coming out like General Grievous.
Hello.
Boba Fett.
And that was kind of like a, that was like an Indiana Jones thing where it had the swordsman and he just pulled the gun. Fennec just takes him out, takes his head off.
Yeah.
Cuts his head off into the salad.
Into the salad.
That's what you get for giving me salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why all these guards are so skinny.
And then there was that little, it was fun and light. It was that little robot looking droid running through the kitchen. And a show like this, you can have moments like that. But if it was a movie, that would have been cut out.
Right.
You would think. Yeah.
Now, have we seen that droid before? Or is it just a thing, a ripoff of the Space Science Theater 3000 or whatever?
Isn't that?
We've seen versions of him in the Clone Wars, I thought.
Yeah,
science fiction. Say episode theater.
One.
It's an LEP droid or an LAP droid. I don't remember which.
But you know your stuff. Sure.
Do I? Do I? You sure about that? I should have a podcast.
But only make it 20 minutes, man.
So, yeah, right. Because I make only know that size. Much stuff.
Yeah, it was all practical effects too.
Yeah.
Really cool. Really cool stuff.
Yeah. But they find Slave One, and they have this whole breakout scene. One of the Gamorrean guards has the Kenner axe in his hand, which is a cool little nod. I like those little nods.
Mm-hmm.
And that was weird that Kenner made that axe when it wasn't used in the movie.
Right.
But anyways, I digress. where did I leave off? Oh, an alarm is sounded and more guards come out. So Boba tries to get his ship to take off and he can't because he's stuck in the hangar. He can't see anything. He starts making a three-point turn, and he dings the bottom end of his fire spray class ship. And then Fennec knows how the door works, that it's got a counterweight to it, and she uses her assassin skills, and she assassinates the chain.
Ooh.
The door slides open, and they take off. And I love that shot of Slave One taking off from the palace at sunrise. I thought that was awesome. So yeah. It's just a great shot.
And the audio, just the sound of the ship is so iconic.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
But I felt like that was a shot that could have been in Return of the Jedi. Like it was just perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the first thing that Boba does is he goes out into the desert and he just blows up that biker gang revenge.
The way they reacted to that attack tells me they weren't the ones that killed the Tuscans, because they're like, well, just keep riding in a straight line. Maybe he'll get bored and go away.
Yeah, it's just playing for fun. Yeah. One of them did kind of swerve off, but Boba still got him.
Yeah, that didn't work out too.
Yeah. And then it got cool because then he was getting up close and personal with the Sarlacc. And this scene, like at first when he's getting in there and it's dark and he's using that flashlight to see if he can find his armor down there.
Yeah.
That screamed alien to me.
Yes. Yes, I love that. That was really creepy. That was the first time I was ever actually kind of afraid of the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even as a little kid watching Jedi, I was like, it's a hole in the ground. Don't fall in it.
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't play the floor as lava. I played the floor as the Sarlacc.
Oh, yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah.
Just stay on the couch. You'll be okay.
Yeah, unless it gets your leg and it starts pulling you down.
That's true. Right. I thought you were blind.
Just a little higher.
A little higher.
Just a little higher. Yeah, and I thought it was cool that he was trying to use his guns to blast the Sarlacc, and he just didn't get the angle because of the positioning of the guns on the Slave One, or the fire spray, whatever you want to call it.
It'll always be the Slave One to me.
I know. Yeah, and not a you know, spiteful thing. It's just how many years have I called it that?
Right.
And I don't know what it is habit. About. Sorry.
I'm just a creature of habit.
Right.
I don't know what it is about seismic charges, but I feel like someone's just about to score a touchdown when I see those things in play. Like, go. Yes, use it.
How did she know how to deploy it, though? That part I was like, maybe it was labeled. I don't know.
I thought I just saw that it was going off. I am thinking too hard.
It was kind of blinking, so yeah, maybe. Maybe the ship was like, hey, do this.
Right. Maybe it was like the smugglers run at Galaxy's Edge. Press this button.
It's like, oh, I got to press my button. I love how it kind of popped out and then rolled across the hall like, oh, come on.
Get in there. You need me to help blow?
Right. Tilt to the left.
Yeah. So then, they land the ship because the Sarlacc is dead, I guess. But then I thought, I read somewhere this past weekend that the Sarlacc absorbs the energy of other beings and it gets stronger.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I read that there was like a cut, like a side view, cut view of the Sarlacc. And I did read that it absorbed the energy of the beings that it had, I guess, eaten, digested, whatever you want to call it.
Weird.
That is weird. I thought it died when he came out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it had that one arm kind of just laying in the sand. I thought, well, that killed it, but clearly not.
I think that arm, the more I look into it or the more I read or whatever, I think that was the one Han Solo hit.
Oh.
Oh.
Didn't think of
just
that.
Just a little higher.
Just a little higher.
It's all right. I can see a lot better.
It's all white now.
Instead of a dark blur, it's really bright.
It's a big light blur. Oh, great.
I was born here. You're going to die here, kid.
Convenient.
Let's see. Where did I leave off? Oh, yeah. Boba. Boba goes spelunking. Isn't that the thing?
Oh,
yes, he does.
Spelunking.
Oh, goodness.
And his armor's there, which I'm like, dude. You escaped with the armor.
Right.
Don't you remember that? Shouldn't you be like looking around it? If you forgot that the Jawas got it.
Yeah.
You're going around it.
How else would you have escaped without your armor?
It was also pointed out to me that, and I guess I got to double check this. I haven't fact checked it, but when he comes out of the Sarlacc, he's missing one of his knee pieces. Oh.
Yes. I don't know.
Interesting.
And like I said, I haven't fact checked it, but he's missing one of the knee pieces, but then he's got it with his armor now.
Unless he remade it. It was missing with Cobb Vanth, because Cobb Vanth only had one knee piece.
Oh, I never really both took now. A good look at that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Maybe it's Cobb Vanth that only had the one, and he's got both now.
Maybe the next thing he does is chase it down a sandcrawler, blasts it.
Yeah.
Finds the rest of his stuff.
I need my knee rockets.
It was also cool. Oh, go ahead.
They're going to play heavily in The Mandalorian.
Return of the knee.
Yeah.
No, it was cool to see the sail barge just like rotting in the desert, half covered.
Yes.
And then when the seismic charge goes off, it kind of shifts and kind of falls further into the sand. And even with the Slave One kind of landing, and there's the next scene with them around the fire pit, in the background is the remains of the Slave One, sail barge, and I thought that's just an awesome shot,
isn't it? Like, just I never in a million years would I ever think that I would see a shot of the Slave One over the Sarlacc with the sail barge in the background. Like,
yeah,
holy cow.
Yeah, it's exciting. This is probably why this episode was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. My
favorite so far, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then so we learn again further Boba Fett's motivation here. He wants to start his own house. He says that both of them, Fennec and Boba, are smarter than any of the idiots they've worked for. It's time to take a shot at themselves. They can make it. Boba promises to share the wealth with Fennec. He offers to share his loyalty. He's going to cut her into the success and pledge his life for her. She says that living with the Tuskens made him soft and replies, "No, it made me strong. One can only go so far without a tribe." And then he wakes up fully healed from the Sarlacc.
Master Fett, you're fully healed.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That kind of hurt my heart a little bit because that told me we're caught up.
We're caught up.
Yeah.
He could have said, "Hey, audience, Boba Fett's fully healed now."
No more flashbacks.
No more flashbacks. We're done. Yay.
Yay.
But yeah, we go back to the sanctuary. This is one of Glenn's favorite scenes in all of Star Wars.
Same. I didn't talk about this too much on my show.
Yeah.
So I'll try not to say too much here.
Yeah, so I really like Black K being drunk and angry and staring down the Trandoshans, kind of like what you said in your show.
Yeah.
The Trandoshans bring Boba Fett a Wookiee pelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just there's that connection of this guy just hating that species because of what they've done to him.
Yep.
His people. And so he's just drinking. He's getting more drunk and angrier, and he's riling himself up. And there's a really cool expression from the first guy he attacks. He lifts him up, and the eyes widen. He's like, "Oh, shit. I said it."
Jason cursed, everybody. Jason cursed.
That's your one for today.
Yeah, that's my one and done. I try to stick to Star Wars rules. If they don't say it in Star Wars, I try not to say it on the podcast.
Oh, I like that.
Boba did say damn in this episode, so I guess you can say it.
Yep. Damn and hell are okay.
Damn and hell. That's right.
I'll see you in hell. Dang Ferrick. That's the other one. Blast it. You can say blast it.
And there's an F word that they use in the books, but I can't think of it right now.
Yeah. And I can call people scug holes. Just learned that one last week.
Yeah. I'll just skip over the part where Madame Garza comes out because nobody cared about that scene. All they cared about is the Wookiee ripping the arm out of the socket.
Right.
I will say Jennifer Beals looks really good for someone our age.
Right. That whole cast looks really good for being 20 years older than us, man.
So true.
Yeah, because she's what, 58, and Ming-Na Wen is 58.
Right?
They don't look 58.
No, I'm 51 and I look 70 sometimes. They're doing something. They're very different than I am.
Yeah, they're just eating smoothies.
Right.
And we're eating every steak that gets put out in front of us.
Right. Yep.
I have M&Ms right here, by the way. So there I'll be you go. Having those after this. But yeah, I loved it. I loved him ripping the arm out of the sock because there was a moment you're like, he's not going to do it. He's going to put it down. And it's like, no, he did it. And I loved, she just turned around like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I was hoping we would see a little blood. I know there's like a no blood in Star Wars, but if you look at New Hope, there was blood when Ponda Baba's arm came off. Yeah. So I was hoping just for a little, not a ton, but you know, something.
Maybe they're cold blooded and they don't have blood. I don't know.
Well, that's possible. They do look like reptiles.
Yeah. Right. And then another cool confirmation here, when the Wookiee leaves, Madame Garza turns around and says,
"Hit it, Rex."
Max.
God.
How did you screw that up, Glenn?
I'm thinking one Rex, job. I'm thinking, oh,
he's
I'm
rewriting fired. The show now. Rex is playing the drums.
Rex from Star Tours now playing the drums.
Hit it, Max.
There you go.
That was so cool.
He survived.
Yeah,
right. There's confirmation. I guess the rest of the group did not make it, or they'd probably be there, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're in the special edition. There is one Bith.
Oh, so he made it.
So that probably. Might be him.
Yeah, probably.
I point That's up cool. there. There's no one up there. All my Biths are over there.
Well, I love that remember, there's the possibility of a Bith section in your room.
There's not a section. That's all the power of the Force stuff right there.
Oh, I gotcha.
and they play Jizz.
But they're
so oh, good. Just remember
I wasn't going to bring that up.
Out of Whalers.
Everything right. You can name it.
Right.
You could call it Raz instead of Jazz. You could call it Maz. You could call it Naz. You can call it Kaz. You could call it Baz. I mean, anyways.
Yep. That's what you called it. Huh? Okay.
Move along. So yeah, Boba Fett goes outside and he hires Black K to be on his side.
Nice.
Which I'm like, that probably could have happened in the last episode.
But then we wanted to see Jennifer Beale in that really nice dress.
That was a nice dress.
Yeah, this all has to come together somehow.
Yeah.
I think she's going to end up being a pretty decent ally for him. At least I hope. I think she could be cool.
She's got a couple aces up her sleeve that we haven't seen yet.
Those she's got aces. Sleeves on?
I was speaking metaphorically.
Oh, sorry. I didn't cuss, at least. I didn't cuss. Oh,
did you notice she's a Twi'lek, Glenn?
What?
Yeah. She has these two things hanging off her head.
Oh, totally missed that.
Do you remember Hera?
Yeah, yes. There you go.
Oh.
Same species.
Okay. Let's get it back to Hera. Good old wholesome Hera.
Can I bring something up? I don't want to run your show long, but why do all the other Twi'leks that we've seen so far look just hot? Even the guy, I was like, oh, man, I wouldn't mind looking like that guy. But then we've got Bib Fortuna. What happened?
Oh, not just that. There's the number two in the Senate.
Oh, was it Masamita?
Yeah. No, not him. There's another one. It was episode one.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but you're right. No.
There's another hot one mess. That's kind of bloated.
Yeah. Well, he was on whatever planet they're from.
Yeah, just gross.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up real quick. Twi'leks. Oh, this is not going to be helpful.
That's crazy. totally fine. But I don't know what happened to Bib Fortuna. Like, his teeth are all filed down. Like, did he see time in prison?
He might have done that just to be more intimidating.
Yeah.
I never took him seriously as a, you know, I never thought he was a threat to anyone, really. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess when Luke uses the Jedi mind trick on him, he's just like, that guy's not. And he's weak-minded.
He's nothing special. Exactly, yeah. So when earlier in the episode, Boba Fett says he's going to get the fat, something, I forget what he says, something that double-crosses him. Is he talking about Bib Fortuna?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Because it's in Bib's the same context.
He's still alive at that point.
So we need to see what happened there. There's got to be some kind of flashback, because how did he double cross him? I don't know what he's talking about.
I wonder if it's some situation where, like, they hired him to say, protect us from this guy that might come, and he didn't realize it was a freaking Jedi.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because his dad lost his life to a Jedi.
This isn't my joke. This is my friend Andy's joke, but he says that we need to get into the back to bed and go back to the future.
Well, we're there. We're done.
We're there. Yeah, we're there. I thought that was pretty funny.
Ba-dum-bum.
But then the last scene here is in the throne room with all of Jabba's lieutenants. They're brought together. Mm. This just played like Don Corleone from The Godfather. Even Temuera Morrison made like a hand gesture at one point where he kind of moves his fingers against his jaw. Fennec was in focus, but and he was kind of, you see the back of Temuera, but he's kind of making that gesture, like I said. So it was just like right from The Godfather.
Huh. That was really cool.
I loved it. And then the Pikes are taking money from Jabba's what?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm hearing things now.
That's Shannon bringing you that Coke I owe you.
No.
Now you can talk. Jinx is over.
Okay. It's been a long episode. Now, the Pikes are taking money from Jabba's Empire. They kind of question, why shouldn't we just kill you and take everything? And then the Rancor makes itself known, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was awesome.
And yeah, Boba's like, he's hungry.
He's hungry. Everyone's rattled by that. And Boba just basically asks him not to take a side, just let this play out. Don't side with the Pikes and double cross me. And they all agree to this, and they take drinks, but I'm like, I don't trust them. Nope, especially that last one. Mm-mm. The dog looking guy. What is that?
That's the same species as Barada. I think that's a Is that a Clotunian?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. No, because Claytu was a Clotunian. Nikto was a Nikto. I don't know what Barada was, but I know that's not his species.
And then finally, Fennec and Boba are at the top of the palace, and they're talking about hiring some guns, some muscle. And we hear the Mandalorian's theme kind of whistling in the background. Oh. And it's like,
yes, he's coming.
I felt like Will Ferrell when they said Santa was coming.
Santa!
I know him.
Danger, Darren!
Not easy to yell that, I guess. Darren.
So do you think we see him next episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, right away.
There's a rumor that somebody said something about, oh, we'll get to see his new ship next episode. We're like, no shit, thanks.
Maybe he's riding a Bantha.
Took you so long. It's like a Bantha.
So yeah, it's gonna be good.
Oh, dude, I've been racking my brain over that one sentence so hard that it's like, all right, is Fett gonna go to Mandalore? Are we gonna see that? The whole I'm not a Mandalorian and all this, are we gonna see that play out in this episode or in this series?
God, I don't know.
Are we gonna see the freaking, if he goes to Mandalore, that's gonna be a mind melt for me. They just made the episode for me, you know, the whole season if they go to Mandalore, because then you got, who are they gonna see? You know, I'm like, you know, you got Plan Marin. Are they going to see, you know, are you going to see Sabine in the background or, you know, hell, episode 6, Dave Filoni is rumored to have written and directed. Does that mean Ahsoka shows up? Because you know how he is about Ahsoka.
That's true. No one else has written Ahsoka.
Yeah. So, you know, my mind's just going a mile a minute on this crap that because he's not going to just bring Din Djarin back. He's got to get a whole crew because him, you know, two Mandos and a sharpshooter can't fight the Pikes.
So the next episode is directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. And yes. She directed the episode of The Mandalorian season 2 that introduced us to Bo-Katan. So I wonder if we see any of that, but that would be bad blood again. I think that's problematic.
Right. I hope what they don't do in this is they fast forward season 3 of The Mandalorian, where we're expecting to see the whole Darksaber thing play out, where they don't just cram it into these 3 episodes and then season 3 opens up and it's the Bo-Katan show.
Right. Yeah. This has been so slow paced for these 4 episodes. I don't think we're going to see a ton of anything, any one thing. I think it's going to be a slow burn for the rest of the 3. Like, it'll be action packed, but I don't think we're going to get a ton other than resolving this major issue on Mos Eisley or Mos Espa.
Okay.
We'll talk about that rumor you shared with me today, Glenn.
Uh-oh.
But Temuera Morrison said that he loved to work.
Oh, yeah. Somebody had posted that they're in an interview. Somebody had asked Temuera Morrison about hunting a specific creature.
Yes.
And he goes, yes, I'd love to work with the Ewoks again.
Ewoks. That's right. He said that.
And whatever her name is, Finnick stops him like dead sentence.
Yeah.
Like, don't say that.
What happened?
Yes. When the hell was Boba Fett around Ewoks?
He's just as bad as Tom Holland, apparently.
He doesn't care. He's just out there having fun.
We need muscle. Let's go to Endor.
Right. I don't know that I would think that.
Why the hell would you bring a furry animal to the desert, though? But hell.
That's going to stink. I don't know.
Why? I mean, you never know. What if they were go? Then would they go get? Well, no, they want to get Wookiees because Big Black K is banned from Kashyyyk.
Yeah. So he's there.
Holy crap! You know what? There's so many ways this thing can go.
Yeah, I don't know. Endor doesn't. I can't make it make sense in my head, but he did say that. He did say Ewoks.
Yeah.
Maybe he meant Jawas. I don't know.
I don't know how you would confuse those two.
Right.
Well, he's pretty old.
He is like 60.
How old is Temuera?
He's 60s.
He's 60. Yeah, he's 60.
Early 60s. Like 60, 61.
I hope I look even close to that good when I'm 61.
I hope I have the balls to go on a national television show shirtless when I'm 61.
Yeah, he looks good for 61.
Yeah.
That last not this episode three, he was in his panties. That was,
Did anybody notice when he's getting squeezed by Big K that his big toe was like at a 90 degree angle?
Yes. How I saw that and I was like, oh, he's struggling going on for air.
What did you say, Jason? I lost.
He's struggling for air, so it's just like, oh. Yeah, I don't know. That's next episode so should be great.
I think the next three, it's gonna be boom, 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 boom.
Ming Na Wen was in, I think it was the Hollywood Reporter or Collider, one of them, being interviewed, and she said that the last few episodes of this are going to change all the haters' perceptions. Like, you know, all the people are like, "Oh, they make Boba Fett weak or whatever." She said it's gonna turn them around. There'll be fans.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I think we're gonna see some really cool stuff.
I hope so. I mean, that last episode swung me around because it was just dragging too much.
Yeah, it was real slow.
But I keep saying, I had to keep reminding myself, this is Disney. This is what they did with Marvel. This is what they're going to do with Star Wars from now on. So just get used to it.
And I think everything we saw, there was a reason behind it. It wasn't fluff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, Sophie Thatcher, who plays Drash, which is the female mod, the one that kind of goes toe-to-toe with Boba Fett. She was talking about her character, and she was saying that she's not sure how much she can stay. You can assume my character might be in more stuff. Yeah, I don't disappear. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. So she kind of hinted that that's not the end of her character. We're going to see more of her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which we kind of figured she's going to be part of that army that they make to defeat the Pikes.
Well, I have a feeling a lot of this is going to roll over in the season three of Mandalorian. Think so? Yeah.
Yeah, they're creating like a shared Marvel universe, except on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I'm for it.
But I want my movies. Bring back the Star Wars movies. It's a cinematic.
I don't know that we're going to see another Star Wars movie. I can't think of what would it be.
Well, the other issue is that it's so cinematic. It's really difficult to differentiate what belongs on screen and what belongs on small screen.
Yeah,
because they all work. Like, you could put the first episode of The Mandalorian on a big screen, it'd be like, yeah, that belongs there.
Mm-hmm. Or tie like a, you know, 2-3 episodes together. You lump them together 3 at a time, you've got a nice trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Obi-Wan will be interesting because that was rumored to be a trilogy at one point, and they moved that to TV. And if you look at 6 episodes, 1 hour each, you know, that's basically half a movie.
Yeah. Right. Are you worried about Obi-Wan at all?
No. Okay. Actually, I was thinking about it today. Deborah Chow is such a good director in The Mandalorian. Yeah. She might even enhance Hayden Christensen and make people love him as Darth Vader even more.
I really hope so. I hope so. He deserves it.
Yeah.
I think.
Was it you, Ted, that said you think Cassian's going to be the one that's going to blow us all away?
I think Andor's going to be the runaway because no one really knows what to expect. I'm afraid that Book of Boba Fett, everyone wanted to see this. So there's no way it could live up to the expectations. Obi-Wan, same thing. Everyone wants to see this. I'm afraid it's going to suffer the same. Not that it won't be good, but I think it'll still disappoint some people. Andor, they either don't care, don't know who it is, or they have zero expectations. So whatever we get, it's going to be amazing. And I think that regardless of expectations, it's going to be good, you know. Anyway, I think it's going to be hot.
It's just weird that they named the character Andor, which is so close to Endor.
I know.
That's the show about the Ewoks, Endor.
There it is. And Boba Fett shows up.
Dude, you never know, man. He might show up.
But yeah. Anything else?
What are you?
Great episode.
Yeah. Huh?
It was a great episode.
Yes, it was. Who are you expecting? What is going to be an oh crap moment for you?
This is going to be, let me see if I can get this right, if you guys can see it. This is what I'm looking for right here.
Cad Bane.
He's holding up Cad Bane.
Cad Bane.
I really think they're bringing Cad Bane back. I think they...
I don't know.
I think they planned
for it. If we weren't done
with
the flashbacks, I'd be hopeful. But now if we are really done with the flashbacks, I don't know that they introduce him here in like the last 2 or 3 episodes. I think that's going to take more time.
Well, this would be the perfect opportunity for Boba Fett to start hiring like he's doing his muscle.
Yeah.
And bring in Bosk, which would be interesting because of what Black Kay just did.
Right. that
would, those two would not be getting along.
I know, but that would be a fun dynamic.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, they make a team out of people that really can't stand each other. I'm okay with that.
It'd be cool if they brought back Dengar.
Yeah,
and all those vintage bounty hunters.
I would love to see more Forlom and Zuckuss, or more. You got what, 8 seconds of them on screen? Yeah. I would love to see what they're all about. Just put voices to the faces, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much they could do.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's going to be bringing home a shit ton of Mandos to Tatooine.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I'm backing off of my whole Crimson Dawn thing, because every time they use the sound, it's related to the Pikes from Solo, a Star Wars Story. So I don't think it has anything to do with Kira.
That would be cool though. That would be good to see.
Now, do you think there's any way that they could be working for Crimson Dawn, or be working with Crimson Dawn, or doing their dirty work?
So the Pikes lost out at some point, and now they are part of Crimson Dawn?
Yes.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yes. Or, maybe. Yeah. Something to that effect.
Maybe. That would be cool if they brought in Black Sun then as the counter.
Were the Pikes part of the Shadow Collective, Darth Maul's conglomerate?
No.
No.
They were against Crimson Dawn.
Oh, okay.
Pikes were on Kessel. And that was the whole thing. They couldn't really go on Kessel because I was getting late on a Sunday night. Paul Bettany's character. Yeah. He didn't want to start a war with the Pikes. Right. So that's why he was hesitant of sending anyone from Crimson Dawn to Kessel.
That's right. Good pull.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, we know. Say Trandoshans.
Trandoshans. Trandoshans. Trandoshans.
There it is.
There you go. You got it.
Play it, Max.
Actually, it's hit it, Max.
Hit it, Max.
Hit it, Rex.
Hit it. Yeah.
Hit it, blue elephant guy.
With the round piano.
Get it. Do 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 do
do do do do do. All right, we need to wrap this up.
Jason's getting tired.
All right.
Ted, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me pretty much anywhere at The Force, of course, your bite-sized Star Wars podcast. Thank you guys for that little tagline.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you for listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and review anywhere you listen to the show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, where you can see our pretty faces. You'll see Ted this week as well.
Uh-oh.
Thank you to Afonso Riviera for the Smuggler's Galaxy logo. Thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.
This is the way.
Play with your toys.
He did that thing he does.
I was hoping he'd say that.
I thought, I'm like, I wonder if they'll let me say this is the way. And I was like, oh no, I know what I'm going to do.